Hello, friends, and welcome to Michael's Saturday Surprise for February 12th, 2011. I'm Rotten Rick, and Michael's lurking in the background, probably a silent night for him, because tonight we're pleased to present another in the continuing series of Yesterday Once More, produced and presented by Rob Hanzik. Tonight he's going to explore some great science fiction. And that's all I need to tell you, because Rob is going to tell you the rest of it.
It's now time for Yesterday Once More. Yesterday Once More is the program that turns back the hands of time to those thrilling days of old-time radio. Today on Yesterday Once More, we feature two science fiction programs. These programs are related. They sound similar, but they are not exactly the same. X-1 and Dimension X. We begin with Dimension X, since it was the first. Dimension X was produced in the early 1950s by NBC. NBC came back in the mid-50s with X-1. Very similar productions, as you will soon find out. First, Dimension X. Story entitled The Lost Race. Now, there's a very special way of enjoying Yesterday Once More, and that is to sit back in your favorite easy chair and relax, because it's Yesterday Once More.
Adventures in time and space, told in future tense.
Dimension X.
When man first crossed the vast distances of outer space to land on strange worlds, he found that someone had been there before him. The ruined canals of Mars, the smashed cities of Titan and Centaurus 2 and 3, all these were evidence that 100,000 years ago, a race of intelligent beings built their cities across the galaxy. They knew space travel, atomic power, astrophysics, and engineering. And then they destroyed themselves. Completely. So that of all the cities on 1,000 worlds, only dust and rubble remained. Why? Why did these beings obliterate all record of themselves? That is the mystery of the lost race. The freighter Carilia, bound out of Earth for Cetus Alpha 2, came into normal flight after 103 days in overdrive. The stars were unfamiliar. The constellations known on Earth had disappeared. But there was a yellow sun off the port, and about it revolved three planets.
What do you make of it, Briggs?
It isn't on any of the star charts, Captain Wharton. I checked through.
1 and 3 are dead, all right. Have to take a closer look at number 2. Turn up the vision scale. Polar ice caps. She's green around the belt. Let's take her down to a 5-mile orbit. Swing around her for a look. Alert for deceleration.
Aye, sir.
Throw in the manuals. Power room.
Power room, aye.
We're going down to have a look at something. Give us just enough power to keep her under control. All right, Briggs. Hang on to your stomach.
You sent for me, Captain Wharton?
Come here, Mr. Howell.
Do you mind if I sit down?
Free fall sickness?
Well, I'm afraid I'm not an old space hand. Oh.
We'll level out in a minute.
Do you want something?
Yes. We come out of overdrive, smack in the middle of a new planetary system. Briggs says it's unreported.
Well, that's rather good news, isn't it?
Depends. Chris reports pretty common. But we'll stake a claim on her, in case there are any mineral discoveries.
Well, I meant the possibility of archaeological finds.
I'm afraid I'll leave that to you, Mr. Howell. You're the expert.
Coming up 5, Captain.
Level off. Hang on, Howell. Power room. Hold her steady, she goes. We'll orbit at slow cruising speed. All right. Clear the scope, Briggs.
Aye, sir.
Nice looking piece of real estate. Well, the space guard requires I check up for radioactives, gold, and lost race runes.
You're landing?
Landing. I've got a schedule to keep, Mr. Howell. I can't sit down on every lump of dirt I run into. We'll do a spectroscope check, and I figured you'd spot any ruins.
All right. Wait a minute.
Hmm?
There in the lower quadrant.
What?
That bald spot in the vegetation. Those are ruins, all right.
Are you sure, Hal?
Yes. I've seen the Lost Race rubble on Centaurus II. There. You can see it plainly, dust and rubble.
Oh, that's what I get for calling in an expert. Briggs, stand by to take it down to 5,000 feet.
Aye, sir.
All this stinking luck. There goes my schedule. Seen enough, Howell? This is going to set me back 5 hours.
Interesting. Wait a minute.
What's wrong?
What? I don't believe it. Marvelous. Incredible.
Stop sputtering, Howell. What is it?
Look over that rise in the ground. It's a section of the city still standing.
Hey, you're right.
That hill must have shielded it from the blast. Captain, you've got to land.
Land?
You've got to. This is the first Lost Race site that's ever been spotted. Of course you'll land.
Howell, we get $1,000 bonus for every day under par for the run.
But you don't understand. It's the biggest find in the century.
We can chart it, and you'll have to get back somehow.
But
that's all. I'm not sitting down to rake over old dust heaps.
Captain Wharton, I'm on commission to the Space Guard. You may have to answer to them.
I'll think up one. Look, Howell, strictly speaking, you're a passenger.
Well, you've got
you
to land.
You don't belong on the bridge. I'm not landing down there. I'm
Briggs! Emergency from the power room. Something must have blown.
Power room. Power room. Danton, what's wrong down there? Danton!
He doesn't answer.
Anything serious, Captain?
He reaches the fuel locker. That 5 pounds of ascending will go and kick us right out of space. Danton! Danton!
Power room, aye.
What happened? What blew?
The main tube coupling. She's secured.
What's
now.
The damage?
The main tube burnt out. The bearing, the coupling, the injector valve, and the needle gauge.
Can you make repairs?
Not in flight.
Can you raise enough power to land?
I don't know, Captain. The wiring shot. It's bad like a tomcat. I might be able to get something from the deceleration auxiliaries.
Get a jury rig on her. We'll try to set her down.
Aye, sir.
Briggs.
Yes, sir.
Alert for crash landing. Signal room. Signal room.
Signal, aye.
Langston, get off a position fix and SOS standby.
Aye, sir.
Well, Mr. Howell, I guess you're going to join your friends in the Lost Race. I just hope it's not permanently. Leveled off now, Captain. Trim her up a point. That's it.
She's bucking bad.
5 more minutes and the hull plates will shake loose. Power room. Stand by for bow blast on signal.
Power ready.
I'm going to try for that clearing.
Too narrow.
2 to 1 for a dollar. All right. Hang on.
Briggs! Briggs! You all right?
I hit my head on the panel.
Well, I seem to be all assembled.
Well, we're down. Guess our luck hasn't run out yet. Calling power room.
Power room, aye.
All right down there?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Danton, I want a complete damage check and repair estimate. Get up here as soon as you got it for me. Briggs, you all right now?
Yes, sir, I guess so.
As soon as we get Dan's report, get a detail F. Help him with repairs.
Captain Wharton.
What is it, Langston?
My speaker line's out. Sending circuits blew.
Spare tubes?
That was a pretty rough landing, Captain. They're gone. I can't replace them this side of Lunar Space Station.
I see. Well, the SOS ought to do it. And the Space Guard monitor reports our
they
position.
They aren't going to, Captain.
Why not?
Sending circuits went out when the blast went off down there. I didn't get the SOS out.
Thank you, Langston. Get back and see what you can salvage.
Aye, sir.
Does that mean bad news?
We were in overdrive, Mr. Howell. It would take 40 years to search the distance we've traveled in one day. Consequently, when a ship doesn't make port and doesn't transmit a position fix, they forget about it.
Oh. I see.
And with the radio out, we blast off on our own power. Or we don't get off.
Got your damage report, Captain.
Well?
Here. On a B-23 checklist.
Not bad?
Worse.
Danton, how long will it take you for repairs?
I don't know.
An estimate.
I ain't no gypsy fortune teller.
How about the lifeboat?
For deep space? What are they teaching at Sands Point? Basket weaving?
Danton,
lifeboat couldn't lift half a light year off this here mud heap.
Danton, I'll take just so much. Look, can it be converted to bisendium drive?
converter links were mashed when we came down.
How long is it going to take you to repair the main drive?
Look, Captain, I got two hands. You want me to hold a lug wrench in my teeth?
See here, Denton.
You see here, Captain. The whole lousy crew's been spitting all over me ever since we blasted off. Now you can all wait on me.
Who do you think you are, Denton?
The only power man on this ship, that's who. Ain't satisfied with the way I'm working, go hire yourself another boy. The woods are lousy with him. I'll take my own sweet time.
What's the matter with him? Got a bug in his ear?
Space fatigue, Captain. He's been locked up in the power room 4 days.
Oh, we don't have enough trouble. Briggs, remind me to slug the psychotechnician when we get back. Don't tell me nobody gets into deep space who isn't emotionally stable.
What are you going to do about him, Captain?
Nothing. Stay off his back.
Oh, but you can't.
Captain's the only man who'll get us out of here. We want to hit the cradle at New York spaceport again. We've got to keep him happy.
Captain Wharton, as long as we're landed and we do have to wait for the engines to be fixed, I suppose we can explore the lost race ruins.
Look, Mr. Howell, I can't spare the men. We are now stuck tight until Danton gets those engines fixed. And if he can't, which is entirely possible, we are stuck, period. Briggs, I want you to keep a careful eye on the men. Space fatigue is nothing compared to what we might run up against now.
Captain Wharton. Captain, I've got it.
Is there any circuits?
No, sir, but I picked up the incoming video band.
Well, that's something. Can you get the mail call through? A man could use a little lift right now.
Well, the scheduled one-way personals are due at 2330 Greenwich.
Good. That ought to help morale. Langston, rig the receiving booth.
Aye, sir.
Howell, this is a break. Seeing the folks at home may be enough to keep everybody on an even keel. I know I'll be glad to see that kid of mine.
Yeah. Mr. Langston, get Hanson out of the booth. You wear the glass right off the tube.
Take it easy, Williams. Everybody gets 3 minutes.
Hey, Kelly, I bet that dame of yours burned up the circuits, huh?
How'd you know it was his girl? You can't tell through the booth.
Well, who else would call that ape? What'd you say, Kelly?
Oh, nothing. She don't have to. She just stands in front of the pickup tube and, oh, brother.
I can just see that.
Hey, it's a boy.
A boy.
Alice had a boy. They're going to show him to me in the circuit tomorrow.
Congratulations.
Who's next, Mr. Langston?
The last call's coming through now on ticker. It's for Williams.
Well,
hey, wait a minute, Williams.
Hey, let go of my arm.
What happened to my call?
No call today, Dan.
You're a liar, Langston.
Hey.
My girl calls in every scheduled circuit. That must be mine.
Let go, Dad. Maybe Janie was busy waiting tables in the lunchroom.
What do you know about her, Hanson?
You kidding? She's a swell kid. Everybody at New York Spaceport knows her.
Yeah, I've seen you hanging around Jane, too.
Now, wait a minute, Denton.
Take it easy, Denton.
You and Williams made this up between you, didn't you? You're going to take my call, huh, Williams?
You're space happy.
You used to hang around with her before I cut you out.
Now listen, Denton, you were lucky enough to get her. Let well enough alone.
You bet I got her, all right, and you're not going to steal her back. Williams, I'm going to...
Are you crazy, Denton? Get him off me.
I'm lying.
Get him off.
Hey, what's going on in here?
Let him fight.
I'm going to kill you, you...
Aggressive.
Tie my back.
Grab him, Hanson. Get
him
off.
Let go
of me.
Nobody took your call. Now, calm down,
Denton. Look out.
He's got a wrench.
Denton.
He's nuts.
Nobody gets a call. Nobody. How do you like that, Williams? You ain't going to hear from Janie no more. How do you like that?
After him. Kelly. Hanson.
The airlock. He's left the ship.
Let him go, the jealous screwball.
Sure. But that's the only man who can get us off of here.
I warned you, so help me, Briggs. I warned you to keep an eye on Danton.
Well, I didn't think he'd go off this way.
Well, it's that girl of his, sir. He's crazy jealous about her.
Any reason for it, Williams?
No, sir. She's a good kid. Too good for Danton. I guess he's just so afraid of losing her to some other guy, he's getting psychopathic about it.
Well, we've got to get him back. I want every man equipped and ready for search parties immediately.
Aye, sir.
Williams, rig some portable searchlights and issue hand blasters and radiation tickers. Kelly.
Aye, sir.
You head the second party. If you find Danton, send up a signal flare.
Aye, sir.
Unless we do find him, we'll be on this planet until the next freighter stumbles on us. Maybe 10,000 years from now. That light up, Hanson.
This is amazing. Captain, Lost Ray's building's actually standing.
Hey! What is it?
Oh, it's nothing. It's shadow.
place gives me the willies.
To be able to find out so much about them, their science, art, what they looked like, perhaps even why they destroyed themselves.
I'm beginning to wonder about that, Howell. You sure they destroyed themselves? Maybe they lost a war to another race.
Winners would have left traces. Genghis Khan, the Mongol emperor, left a pile of skulls as a monument after he destroyed his enemies. But there's been nothing like that found.
No clues at all,
Nothing. When they decided to wipe themselves out, they did a thorough job. But why? That's what we've been asking for 50 years. They want it to end like that.
Captain, there's a rise ahead.
Keep going. Anything on your side, Briggs?
No, sir.
Hanson, what is it?
I don't know, sir. It's a funny kind of a glow. I guess I shot without thinking.
No, get trigger happy. Howell.
Yes?
Where do you think the light is coming from?
Down there. It's an amphitheater. Stone seats and a hood.
It looks like a band shell.
What's up, Captain?
Wait a minute. Well, Howell?
I don't know. That's the Lost Race sign on the hood.
But what?
A sort of hieroglyphic. Only thing we'd ever found before, one in each ruin.
What does it mean?
Some kind of a warning, I think.
Come on, we're going down there. Careful now. There's a platform of some kind down there.
Looks like a lecture platform, doesn't it?
Or an altar. This might have been a temple. Perhaps the Lost Race sign had a religious significance.
Looks like a throne to me.
A throne 5 feet high.
Briggs, climb up there. And see if there are any controls for this machinery.
Aye, sir. This wasn't meant for any man to sit on. There's a lever up here. Shall I try it?
Sure, go ahead.
Hey, what the... What's that mist? It's like a steam bath. I wonder if Kelly and Williams ran into anything
Kelly,
like...
Hold that light up.
Shut up and keep looking for Danton.
What? Look there. In the hood.
It's Williams and Kelly.
That crazy jet jockey. When I find
Briggs,
him, I'm going to beat his brains out.
You could see him, a three-dimensional image.
Some kind of television. Get down, Briggs.
Aye, sir. Did you see it, Skipper? I was just thinking about him, and there he was.
And we all saw it. Out of the way. I'm going to try it. This thing can pick up Earth. It'll replace the receiver Dan smashed. Just throw the lever, eh?
What? That's my son. I'll be darned. His music lesson. Say, it reaches Earth, all right. What? Imagine. Television without a transmitter.
Looks like the Lost Race was ahead of us in more ways than one.
Go up and try it, Howell.
It's amazing, amazing. Television without a transmitter. This machine may be the clue to the mystery of the Lost Race. I'll try it.
Mary, I've told you I like my paper first in the morning.
What?
If that youngster wants to know how the Tigers did, let him wait until I am...
My father in Detroit. Remarkable, Captain. You can see the whole room clearly.
Say, how about me, Captain? Let me get up there. I like to see my baby. Alice told me all about it. Out.
What's the matter, Hanson?
I kicked something, a wrench.
Well, hold it up.
What?
It's Danton's. That means he's been here. We're on his trail, all right. Come on, Howell, let's go.
Oh, but the baby, it wouldn't take a minute, Captain.
Later, Hanson. We've got to find Danton first. All right, now, let's get moving. Hold it.
What's that?
The recall flare. Kelly and his men have found Danton. Oh, I hope that crazy fool is in one piece.
We start back now, Captain.
Yes.
That came from the ship.
Another flare?
No, that was an explosion. That's all we need now. Something more to happen to the ship. Oh, it's the main jet.
Smashed flat.
Of all the
stinking rot.
Check through the ship for further damage.
Aye, sir.
Oh, look at those plates. Crumpled like an accordion.
Captain! Oh, Captain!
Here comes Kelly's party.
We got him. We got Danton. Hold it. What happened here?
Somebody blew up the main jets. Danton, do you know anything about this?
No, sir.
Not much, he doesn't. He's crazy enough to blow us all up.
Listen, Hanson, I admit I went off my head tonight, but I'm not crazy enough to commit suicide. The jets that smashed were all marooned up the same creek.
I still think he's got something to do with it.
Lay off, Hanson. We found him wandering up in the hills. And he was with us when the blast went off.
Yes, that's right. We saw your recall flare before the explosions. Well, I guess that puts Danton on the clear.
Then who did it, Captain?
I don't know, Hal. Looks like somebody didn't want us to leave this planet. Well, we still got one slim chance left. If we can repair the lifeboat...
Skipper? It's gone.
Gone?
The escape port is open. The boat's missing.
What? Oh, what else?
The arms chest was cleaned out, sir, and the fuel locker was jimmied open. The descendium bars are gone.
You sure?
You look for yourself, sir. She's clean.
I see. There's only one answer left. There's something or somebody out in those ruins trying to get us. Maybe that lost race decided they weren't going to stay lost.
You think some of them may still be alive?
Who else could have blown up our ship? Keep your blaster up, Hal. And be careful. It's a hair trigger.
What are we doing back at the television machine, Captain? I thought we were looking for the lifeboat.
We are. Whoever blew up the ship must be around here. Might as well try to use this machine to track them down.
Yeah. Catch them with their own gadget, huh?
That's right. All right, Hal, you're the expert. Get up there and try to find them.
I hope it works.
Well?
Trying, Captain.
Nothing but mist.
I don't understand it. It reached all the way to Earth before I saw my father in Detroit.
Mary, my papers all rumpled again.
What the? There it is again. My father in Detroit.
I've told him time and time again I don't like a messy paper.
Look at that. No selector control yet. All the way to Earth. You can see the whole room, the goldfish bowl, the antimacassars on the chairs. Yet we can't pick up something less than a mile away.
Knock it off, Hal. We're wasting time. Come on. That gadget won't work. We'll have to comb these rooms inch by inch.
I don't understand.
Neither do I. We'll cut behind the hood here and go on. Briggs, you take the lead with the radiation ticker. We might be able to pick up a reading on where the rocket fuel is hidden.
Aye, sir.
All right, let's go.
I can't understand why that machine can pick up Earth and not...
Help, Captain!
Briggs, what is it?
Captain, help! I'm falling!
It's a cave-in. Hang on, Briggs!
I'm slipping, Captain!
Grab his wrist.
All right.
Now, pull!
Higher!
What happened?
I was just walking along and the ground caved in.
What? It's some kind of shaft. Hold your light over it, Captain.
Oh!
50 feet deep in a stone bottom. I could have split my head open like a grapefruit.
Something down there. Hold that light steady. Amazing. It's amazing.
Looks like a pile of bones to me. Two piles.
It may be the first skeletal remains ever found of the lost race. I've got to get down in there.
We haven't got time, Hal. Come on.
Let me have your binoculars. Wonderful. That small skeleton must be an infant. They've been laid out carefully. It's a burial chamber. The way they're lying, it's probably a mother and infant. Yeah. The tail, she's definitely anthropoid.
Oh, you mean apes?
Something like that. Yet they had atomic power and built cities across the galaxy. Amazing.
Oh, we haven't got time.
Hello, that's funny. The little one is different. The caudal bones are different. No tail.
Listen, Hal. What do I care whether they have tails or not? Come on,
it's
now.
It's almost as if... Well, they did have atomics and... Radiation does funny things to heredity. They had that problem with mutations in Detroit. What? Detroit. That must be it.
What?
The new atomics plant at Detroit. They tore down my father's house to make room for it. Quickly, Captain.
Oh, where are you going?
Back to the machine. I've got a theory that may solve the whole mystery of what happened to the lost race.
I don't care what happened to the dead ones, Hal. I want to find the living ones who wrecked my ship.
I think this machine may give us both answers. The house, Detroit, down to the last detail.
Oh, come on, Don. We know all
but
that.
But don't you understand? That house was torn down. I got a letter before we lifted off Earth. It's gone.
But it's on the television machine.
Captain, that machine isn't television. It's a thought projector.
What?
It only mirrors what's in your own mind.
But, Mr. Howell, we saw Earth. It was really there.
But it was just because we imagined it, Briggs. It's a thought projection. I can produce any mental image that occurs to me on this machine. New York, spaceport, a space guard patrol, anything.
Anything?
Yes. And now I think I know what inspired the lost race to do what they did. It was fear. Fear of what was in their own minds. They could all see it with machines like this.
But fear? Fear of what?
They foresaw the future. So they destroyed themselves. Every last one of them.
Hold it, Hal. Are you sure they're all dead?
100,000 years ago.
Then who blew up the ship and stole our lifeboat?
Danton.
Danton? But why?
He was pathologically jealous.
Yes, but blowing up the ship was like committing suicide. He wasn't crazy enough to do that.
The lost race was after they looked at this machine.
You mean Danton did too?
We found his wrench here.
You're right.
He must have looked at the machine and thought it was television. He must have seen all his fears about losing his girl confirmed. That was enough to make him completely unbalanced.
But he was with Kelly when that explosion went off. He's got an ironclad alibi. No, he hasn't. It wouldn't take a power man long to sneak back to the ship and rig a delayed action fuse. Howell, we've got to get back to the ship before Danton.
Never mind, Captain. Stay right there.
That's Danton.
In the dark. You make a perfect target there. Stop your gun. I've got a blaster set at wide angle.
Drop him. He's got his cold.
I've been following you, Wharton. I wanted to tell you. I'm going back to Earth. I got the lifeboat hidden over that rise.
It won't work in deep space.
You believe me when I told you that, didn't you? Well, I've got it fixed. And with that bacentium fuel, it'll be a milk run. I'll reach the Space Guard station at Volta with a long, sad story about how the rest of you exploded in mid-space.
Danton, that's murder.
Yeah, yeah, that's just what it is. And easy, too.
Danton, you can't just leave us here.
Watch me. Sit in front of that machine and watch me. Yeah, I know what it is. I know it's a television without a transmitter. And I did some checking up. I've seen how you were stealing my calls. Trying to steal my girl.
Danton, you're sick. You
pretty
can't...
Pretty smart, that lost race. They built some machine, and it showed me plenty. Showed me enough to kill you.
Oh, you've got it all wrong. This isn't a television machine.
What are you trying to pull, Wharton? I saw it.
Those were your own thoughts, Danton. Those things you saw exist only in your mind.
Shut up before I blast all of you down. You're just trying to lie out of it, that's all. But I know the truth when I see it. And you're going to die.
All right, Danton, but you're not going to get away with it. Look at the machine.
What's that?
The machine. It's the Space Guard patrol, Danton. Look. They're coming.
X-3 to command. Spotted the Corellias, reported. Preparing to land.
That's the Space Guard, Danton.
Yeah, whole patrol.
You're lying. You're lying. They couldn't come. There wasn't any SOS.
X-3 to command. Preparing to land. There's a clearing.
That's enough, Howell. All right, Danton. They'll be coming over the horizon. Drop your gun and give yourself up.
No. They're not going to catch me. I'll be away in that lifeboat before they land. Stay still, all of you. Stay where you are. I've still got you covered.
Danton, look out behind you!
The burial shaft. He fell in it. Hold the light down, Briggs. Well?
He's dead. Deader than the lost race. And what about those Space Guard cruisers?
Out of my head. I just imagined them. There they were on the machine. Poor Danton believed they were real.
I wish they were real so we could get off this planet. No, it doesn't matter. We know where the lifeboat is now. We can send one man to bring back help. And it won't be Danton.
The machine got him the same way it got the lost race. Through fear.
But what was the lost race afraid of, Howell?
Changing.
Changing?
Look at those skeletons down there. They had atomic energy, but they couldn't control it. Look, the baby's different from the other. The race was changing by mutation.
Mutation?
Look at those skeletons. Now imagine a shifted hip socket so they could walk upright. The baby was already without a tail.
But Howell, that would mean they were changing into...
Yes, Captain. The lost race committed suicide rather than face the fear of seeing their descendants become such horrible creatures as men.
You have just heard another adventure into the unknown world of the future, the world of Dimension X.
And now, about next week. William Travis and his wife thought they had escaped, but they were wrong. They were being searched out by men from another world, men who wanted them to return. Where? I'll tell you next week.
Tonight's drama was based on the Murray Leinster story, The Lost, and was adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Features in the cast were Matt Crowley as Captain Wharton, Roger DeCoven as Howell and Joseph Julian as Danton. Your host was Norman Rose. Tomorrow, it's Sam Spade. Now hear Truth or Consequences on NBC.
And that was Dimension X with The Lost Race. Coming up next, X-1 from the year 1955, No Contact.
Countdown for blast-off. X minus 5, minus 4, minus 3, minus 2, X minus 1. Fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company presents X minus one. Tonight's story, No Contact. It was in the year of 1982 that spacemen first discovered the Great Galactic Barrier. In the past 10 years, rocket travel to the moon and the nearer planets had become commonplace. And then men fixed their sights on a more distant star, the remote planet known as Volta. 5 exploratory ships went out, and none came back, each in turn disappearing mysteriously at the same vanishing point, at an invisible wall somewhere in the vast outer reaches, that became known as the wrecker of spaceships, the Galactic Reef. And yet, the explorers refused to admit defeat. It was on June the 2nd, 1987, that the rocket Star Cloud made ready for takeoff, the 6th to attempt to crack the barrier and win through to Volta.
Now hear this. Condition green. 2 minutes to blast off. Condition green. 2 minutes to blast off.
Well, Lewis, this is it. I don't suppose you'll be needing the ship's doctor up here on the bridge during blast off.
I think not, Smitty. There's little chance of acceleration bends in these new overdrive ships.
I'll be in my office then, counting vitamin pills if you need me. It's only a few steps. Good luck, Lewis.
Thank you, Smitty. Lieutenant Collier.
Yes, sir?
You're relieved. You'd better get down to navigation control and take over.
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant.
Yes, sir?
We've never flown together before. This is your first flight in a space vessel as big as the Star Cloud.
Yes, sir, but I was trained in oversized jobs at the Naval Academy.
Well, if you're half as good a navigator as your father was, you'll do fine.
Thank you, sir. Did you ship out with my father?
I served under him on one of the first rocket runs to the moon.
I see.
I almost went along on his last trip to the barrier. Too bad about that.
Yes, sir.
That's all, Collier.
Lieutenant Paulison.
Get me the ground control tower on the field. I want to talk to Colonel Harrison.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir. I've patched in the bridge speaker.
Colonel Harrison?
Yes, Captain?
We're standing by for takeoff in 30 seconds.
Good. The field's cleared of all personnel. We'll try to reestablish radio contact immediately after takeoff. In any event, there'll be a 24-hour ground monitor.
Fine.
Good luck. Hope you make it.
Thank you. Bridge to navigation control.
Have control, Collier.
Ready, Lieutenant?
We're ready, Captain. The course is in the integrator for takeoff at 1,200 hours.
All right. Stand by for blastoff. Bridge to engine room. Fire up your rocket chambers. Take off at exactly 1,200 hours. I'll read you off. 20 seconds. 19. 18. 17. 16. Hold it. Revoke all orders. Who turned in that alarm?
Mr. Paulison, sir. We've uncovered a stowaway.
Stowaway? Where? Have him brought up to the bridge. Engine room, kill your rockets and stand by.
Thorson, this is Colonel Harrison in ground control. What's holding you up?
Trouble.
What's the matter with you?
What's the matter with you? There's a stowaway aboard.
Stowaway?
Yes, I thought your men were supposed to police this base. What's the
All
matter
right,
with you?
Captain, take it easy.
You know what this delay can do to us, don't you? 1 minute late at takeoff can throw us a million miles off course.
We'll have to reintegrate the whole works.
Well, look, how long do you think it'll take?
Don't bother for me for a while. I'm busy.
Stupid idiot.
Captain Fawson?
Yes, come in, Smitty.
Here's your story.
I'll court-martial the...
Oh, Charlie.
Can you use a good radio man, Skipper?
Well, I see you two have met.
Met? Skipper and me made 50 trips to the moon together. Didn't we, Skipper?
Charlie, if you wanted to come along, why didn't you volunteer?
I did, Skipper. They turned me down.
Now, what's wrong with you?
Acceleration bends. They said my arteries wouldn't stand another trip.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
But they're wrong, Skipper. I got one more good trip in me. Listen, Skipper, you know that these green kids, they don't know the first thing about space radio operation. Now, you put a man like me on and I'll be getting you bedtime stories from Mars.
Charlie, you know the regulations as well as I do. I can't take you, much as I'd like to.
Colonel Harrison will murder me for this.
Well, I'm sorry, Charlie. I'll have you put aground. I'll tell you what, I'll ask Harrison to put you on his ground radio contact, and it'll seem as if you're right here with us.
He won't do it, sir.
Well, he'd better. I'll have him busted to corporal for letting you sneak aboard. Look, Charlie, you better be off. Paulison.
Yes, sir.
I'm sending this man aground. Give him time to clear the launching platform.
Yes, sir.
So long, Charlie. I'm sorry.
Good luck, Skipper.
I thought you were going to have him drawn and quartered.
If it had been anyone else, I would have, Smitty. But Charlie, well, he's kind of special. He's been with me since my first command when we began the regular run to the moon. And if he wanted to come along this time, well, it's only through loyalty to me.
You know, Lewis, I didn't realize it before, but you're almost human.
Captain Dawson, Nav Control, Collier.
Oh, yes, Lieutenant. How badly are we fouled up? Can you recalculate the course, or shall I cancel the takeoff?
I've already plotted a new course on the integrator, sir. If we take off in exactly 30 seconds, we'll need to correct for only a 1 degree deflection. I can do that before we breach the stratosphere.
That's quick work. Are you sure?
Yes, sir. Positive, sir.
All right, Collier. I'm putting it in your hands. We'll blast off on your signal. Bridge to engine room. Prepare to blast off on navigator's signal. How are we doing, Collier?
Coming on the bearing, sir. That's 4, 3, 2, 0. We've intersected the course vector.
Good work, Collier.
Course is corrected, sir. We're ready to go into atomic overdrive anytime you say.
All right. Stand by.
Yes, sir.
Now hear this. Now hear this. Prepare for maximum acceleration. Bridge to engine room. Kill your rockets.
Rockets out.
Fire up number one cyclotron.
Number one ready.
Fire up number two.
Number two ready.
Withdraw your dampening rods.
Fission chamber ready. Blast tubes cleared. All generators operating at capacity. Take it over, sir.
Go into overdrive at the count of zero. 3 seconds, Mr. Collier.
Three.
Two.
Two.
One.
One.
Zero.
Zero.
How are we doing, Collier?
On course, sir. She's running hot and true.
My compliments, Lieutenant. This job would have done your father credit, and he was the best navigation officer I ever saw.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Start your gyros. Put her on robot control. All right, the bridge is yours, Mr. Collier. If you need me, I'll be in Dr. Smithson's office.
Yes, sir.
Well, Lewis, I see you got us off the ground.
You can thank young Collier for that. Chip off the old block.
You knew his father?
As a matter of fact, I knew him very well. First-rate spaceman.
Well, is he the one
Yes. He was lost in the galactic barrier on the second ship we sent out to Volta.
Lewis, just what do you think this galactic barrier is?
Oh, your guess is as good as mine, Doc. All I know is that 5 ships have gone into it, and none of them have come back out.
You think it's a nit? How about Mestrovic's theory that it's a time warp in space? That the ships reach it and slip into another dimension?
I think that's a lot of rubbish. My theory is that the galactic barrier is nothing more than a radioactive layer of some kind.
Why do you say that?
Well, we know that radar signals bounce off it like they were hitting an invisible glass wall.
and we know that it destroys our ships and crews in some way. There's no other logical explanation.
What makes you think we can get through it, Lewis?
Because we're ready for it. The others weren't. The entire hull of this ship is completely shielded with lead. We can crack through any radioactive cloud ever detected. Besides, we're equipped with some new UHF radio devices that should enable us to maintain radio contact with Earth. Nothing can happen. Absolutely nothing.
Now, who are you trying to convince?
Myself, I suppose.
Lewis, you've had your share of glory. First skipper to reach the moon back in 1962. You could have retired. Why are you risking this trip?
Five ships are missing. Men like Prentice, Margotson, young Collier's father. I'm tired of seeing good men fed into that meat chopper.
Then why are we going to Volta?
We haven't any choice, Smitty. We're in a race, the kind of race where men and ships are expendable. According to the Interspace Code, the first nation to reach Volta can claim it.
Well, personally, I want no part of it.
Now, Doc.
I'll have to play physician, morale builder, and mother substitute for 112 slightly nervous men.
And your morale doesn't sound too good, Doc.
As morale officer, I can state without fear of contradiction, it is terrible. And something tells me, as we approach that galactic barrier, I'm not going to be alone.
Hello, Earth. Hello, Earth. Captain Thorson of the Star Cloud calling Earth.
Hello, Star Cloud. Hi, Captain.
Charlie. Well, I see they haven't court-martialed you yet.
No, sir, thanks to you.
Well, it's good to hear you. You can read us the funny papers on Sunday morning.
All right.
Now, how's our signal?
Strong. Clear as a bell.
Now, here's our log report for Colonel Harrison. You ready?
Shoot.
June 2nd, 1987. 4 weeks out from Earth. Running through. No radiation. Operation normal. Still making our approach to the galactic barrier. That's all, Charlie. See you later.
Good luck, Captain. I sure wish I was with you.
How's the morale, Smitty?
The men know we're getting closer to the barrier. They're beginning to show a little tension, Lewis.
Oh, how's their physical condition? Any sickness?
About half the crew has come down with space blues.
Ah, I was afraid of that. Are they bad?
Same as usual. Lips and hands with a bluish cast. Eyes are sensitive to infrareds.
I don't know. When I first started flying these tin cans, nobody ever heard of space blues.
Well, now there's a theory it's caused by the terrific acceleration of atomic overdrive. Change in gravity affects the circulation.
What do you think?
I think it's psychosomatic. I've noticed that the same men who get space blues under tension on a ship tend to get blue coloration back on Earth when they're upset. I guess it's just an occupational disease of space navigators.
Uh-huh. You think it's just nerves, then?
Well, young Collier's got a bad case. I think it's tension from overwork.
Maybe he needs some vitamins.
Lewis, when will you realize that vitamins are not a panacea for all the troubles of mankind?
Sir, I understand that you've relieved me from duty.
Well, Dr. Smithson says you aren't looking very well, Collier. I'm giving you a rest.
Sir, I feel perfectly able to continue.
Your lips are as blue as Minnetonka.
Captain, I'd like to remain at my post.
Don't be foolhardy, Lieutenant.
I'm not being foolhardy, sir. I have a special, personal reason for wanting this expedition to reach Volta.
Your father?
Yes, sir.
You think he might still be alive?
I have to find out what happened, sir.
I think I understand. Very well, Collier. Report back to duty. What's the reading policy?
We're getting a plus five radar bounce now. Coming off the barrier almost as fast as we send it out.
What's the interval?
2 seconds. Shortening steadily. At this rate, we'll hit the wall in the next few minutes.
All right. Alert the crew. Sound general quarters.
Now, hear this. Condition red. We are now approaching the galactic barrier. All hands to stations. All radiation detectors to be fully manned. Full security will prevail until further notice. That is all.
Paulison.
Yes, sir?
The radar bounces up to plus six. We'd better try to make final contact with Earth. Is Spark still trying to raise the base?
Yes, sir, but he's not having much luck.
Huh?
Seems to be some interference. Oh, that's the radio room now. Yes? You got him? Well, cut in on the bridge speaker. Captain will take it from here.
Hello? Star Cloud to Earth. Can you hear me, Earth?
Hello, Skipper. I can barely read you. We're getting heavy static from sunspots.
That's not sunspots, Charlie. We're right on top of the galactic barrier. Getting a plus seven radar bounce. Expect to hit the barrier almost any second now.
Good luck, Skipper.
If we crack the barrier and come through still in one piece, I'll try to get back to you on the high-frequency band.
Got you, Skipper. Don't worry. I'll be waiting.
So long, Charlie.
So long, Star Cloud.
You must be getting awfully close now, Captain. Echo's bouncing back so fast, it's almost beating the signal.
Well, when they go inside, hold on to your hat. That's when we run into the wall.
Any second.
Hold on.
Well, here goes nothing.
Here it comes.
Captain.
Nothing happened.
We made it.
We made it, Captain. No radiation, no time warp, no nothing. Now, the crew's gone crazy, sir.
Let them. They've earned it. Doc, can you break out a few bottles of snakebite serum for medicinal purposes?
I sure can, Lewis.
This calls for a celebration. How's your morale now?
It couldn't be better. How's yours?
Couldn't be better. What the...
Condition red. Radiation detected. Condition red. Radiation detected.
Holy mackerel. Look at the needle on that indicator.
Mollison. Yes, I see it, Captain. Picking radiation like crazy.
What's it like?
Well, it's a strong impulse.
What kind?
I don't know. It's too long for a cosmic ray, too short for UHF. Whatever it is, sir, the ship is lousy.
Well, track it down, triangulate it, and make it fast. I want a directional fix.
Yes, sir.
Engine room.
Yes, sir.
We're picking up radioactivity. Is the fission chambers?
No leak here, sir.
Check your gauges.
Nothing here, Captain. Must be coming from outside.
Damage control. Is our lead shield leaking radiation? Well, keep at it. Paulison, how are you doing?
I've got a fix, Captain.
Well, what is it?
Well, I'll have to recheck my figures.
I'll hurry it up.
Angle is correct, but
I... Come on, man, for Pete's sake. Where's the radiation coming from?
Sir, it's coming from inside the ship.
That's impossible.
No, sir, I've checked it twice.
Well, it's got to be the engines, then.
If it is, sir, we're finished.
Engine room.
Yes, sir.
That radiation must be in the overdrive pile.
No, sir, it isn't here, sir.
Are you certain?
Yes, sir.
All right, keep checking. There's only one thing left to do. Paulison, get a Geiger counter. We're going to start combing this ship inch by inch.
Yes, sir.
All right, turn it on.
Yes, sir. All right. Ready, Captain.
We'll check the atomic guns first. Come on. We'll cut through the officer's quarters here to ordnance. Now turn here.
Well, wait a minute, sir.
Huh? What is it?
The signal's weaker now.
Yeah. Let's go back. Hold it. Seems strongest right about here.
Oh, it doesn't make sense.
Whose cabin is this?
Lieutenant Collier's.
Collier?
No, he's down in that control, sir.
Oh, I'll try the door.
It's not locked, sir. Oh, it's in here, all right. Listen to that counter. Strongest over here.
Open that wall cabinet.
It's locked,
I'll
sir.
I'll smash it. Now, shut off that Geiger counter. Now, what do you make of this, Paulison?
Well, it looks like some sort of portable transmitter, sir. Must be foreign manufacture. I don't recognize the calibration symbols at all. I've never seen anything like it.
Which raises a small question. What is Lieutenant Collier doing with a transmitter in his cabin?
I don't know, sir.
Well, I intend to find out, Paulison. Get down to nav control and bring Collier up to the bridge on the double.
Well, hadn't we better find some way to shut this thing off first?
I know a way. Lieutenant Collier, I'm going to ask a few simple questions, and I want a few simple answers.
Yes, sir.
What were you doing with a transmitter in your cabin?
Transmitter, Captain?
Oh, you know nothing about it.
Well, no, sir, I don't.
Do you recognize these calibration symbols?
No, sir.
Can you think of how it might have been placed in your cabin without your knowing it?
No, sir, unless someone came in while I was on duty.
Would that have been possible?
Well, I suppose so, if someone had a key.
I found your cabin door unlocked.
Well, I meant a key to the wall cabinet.
I didn't say the wall cabinet.
Well, I...
You what, Lieutenant? How could you have known it was in the wall cabinet?
Well, I just assumed, sir.
Lieutenant Collier, I find it hard to believe you would lie. Having known and respected your father, having observed the way you handle your job. However, I intend to get to the root of this thing. May I have your wristwatch, Lieutenant?
Sir?
Your wristwatch.
Yes, sir.
Follison, turn on that Geiger counter.
Yes, sir.
Hold this watch next to it.
Yes, sir.
That's all. Lieutenant, if you hadn't any close contact with that transmitter, how do you explain the radioactivity of this watch?
Well, I don't, sir.
I think you'd better. To whom were you sending those signals?
Condition red! Condition red!
There's your answer, Captain.
What is this, Collier?
Alien spaceship approaching! Alien spaceship approaching!
Collier, who's aboard that ship? All right, now talk!
Very well, Captain. My mission seems completed.
Your mission? Are you admitting that you're an agent of a foreign power?
I am stating it.
What nation?
No nation, Captain.
What?
I am an agent of the Voltan government.
Now, what?
The government of the planet of Volta.
You're crazy.
Are you so stupid, Captain? Did you think your people are the only ones who can invade another planet?
What do you mean?
We've had agents operating on Earth since 1945.
I don't believe you.
What do you think happened to those five ships, Captain? Where do you suppose we got our information? Your language, your culture, family background.
Your appearance, you look like...
Like Commander Collier? Well, is that so surprising, Captain?
You see, Captain, we had a living model.
I ought to kill you.
That would be very foolish, Captain. I would advise you to surrender without delay.
Alien ship now coming in water frame.
I'll deal with you later, Collier. Paulison?
Yes, sir.
Put this man in irons. Take him away.
Don't worry, sir. We'll take good care of him.
Carpenter! Robinson!
Gunnery.
Gunnery Richardson.
What's the range?
10,000 meters. They're closing fast.
Put your guns on radar tracking.
Tracking. Coming on the bearing.
Fire! Fire, Richardson! Richardson, did you hear me? Fire! What's the matter down there? Did you hear me? Richardson, answer me!
It's no use to shout, Captain.
Collier, how did you get loose? Where's Paulison?
Lieutenant Paulison is dead.
All stations! Lieutenant Collier has escaped! Seize him, men!
Don't waste your breath. Your men can't hear you, Captain.
What?
Those still alive are my men.
You're lying!
No, Captain. Every ship that has ever left Earth was controlled by a Voltan crew.
That's impossible. Those were handpicked men.
Handpicked by us.
I don't believe you.
No? Then why not call for help?
Carpenter, Robinson, Haley, report.
You see, Captain?
Carpenter! Robinson! Haley!
It's quite useless, Captain. I would advise you to sit very quietly and do nothing.
Very well, Collier. You beaten us. What now?
The ship will be taken to Volta for, shall we say, further experimentation.
I see. Of course, there's one thing you hadn't counted on.
Just what is that, Captain?
Listen! Carpenter! Are you in there, Lieutenant Carpenter? They can't all be dead. There must be one alive. Smitty! Dr. Smithson! Smitty! Smitty, what have they done to him?
Lewis,
dirty... don't talk.
I must lean closer. There's not much time. Lewis, space blues.
Space blues? What is it, Smitty? What are you trying to tell me?
All men with space blues. Voltans.
Hello, let me help you.
No, Lewis, get message back to Earth. Voltan, fifth column. Watch out for it.
Smitty. Oh, Smitty.
Captain,
Thorson. Captain Thorson, you can't hide from us now. Come back to the bridge and surrender, or my men will come and get you.
Hello. Hello. Star Cloud calling Earth. Oh, please, God, let me get through before it's too late. Hello. Star Cloud to Earth. Come in, please. Come in, please.
Hello. Hello. Star Cloud to Earth. Captain Thorson calling. Charlie, come in, please. Hurry.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Can you hear me, Charlie?
Skipper, is that you?
Are you getting my signal?
It's coming in a little louder now, Skip. Keep sending.
My God. Now, look, Charlie, listen to me. Not much time. Get word to Colonel Harrison. Crew mutinied. Most of crew members, Fultons.
What?
Fultons.
Spell that.
V-O-L-T.
Fultons.
That's right. They're from the planet Volta.
Skipper, are you all right?
Now, Charlie, this is serious. They'll be here any second. Now, listen. They have a fifth column on Earth. They're planning to invade you.
You mean it?
Of course I mean it. Tell Harrison, posing as humans. You can detect them by space blues. You got that? Only Fultons get space blue. Charlie, did you hear me?
Space blue. I get you.
They're breaking in, Charlie. I'm depending on you. Warn everybody.
Captain.
They're opening the door. So long, Charlie. Tell Harrison.
Captain. Captain Thorson. Hello. Hello, Star Cloud.
What's the trouble, Sergeant?
I was just trying to raise a Star Cloud, Colonel.
I had any luck?
No, sir. No contact.
No contact, eh?
No, sir.
Nearly an hour since they hit the galactic barrier. I don't understand why they haven't tried to get a message back.
No, sir. Neither do I.
Oh, all right. I'll take over for a while.
Yes, you do that, sir. It's all yours.
Right. Oh, and Charlie, you better go out and get yourself some coffee. You look a little blue around the gills.
Tonight, X-1 has brought you No Contact, written by George Lefferts from an original story of Lefferts and Ernest Kenoy. Featured in the cast were Louis Van Ruten as Captain, Donald Buca as Collier, Wendell Holmes as Charlie, and Bill Griffiths, Bill Smith, Matt Crowley, and Ken Williams. Your announcer, Don Pardo. X-1 was directed by Fred Way and is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production. And now, next week. When you want to take over a world, you naturally look for its weak point, some way to catch its people off guard. We live in a world where everybody loves a parade, a world of press agents and publicity stunts. But who would ever dream that invaders from outer space would take advantage of that weakness and actually hire a press agent to advertise their coming? Who would believe it was anything but just another publicity gag? At least, not until the terrible moment when it was already too late. The moment of X-1.
This concludes our program for today. We heard Dimension X with The Lost Race, and then X-1, No Contact. I'm Rob Hancock, inviting you to join us again soon for another edition of Yesterday Once More. Until then, so long for now.
And thanks, Rob, for another great presentation of Yesterday Once More. This featured a lot of the best actors and best performances of the golden age of radio, final years. In fact, you might say it was out of this world. Well, when we get to that point, it's time for me to shuffle off. Before we go, though, a reminder that we do like requests. We would like to hear your comments and criticisms, at least the other guys would. And to do that, all you need to do is drop an email to Michael Amaro. And his address is MIKEAMELI at earthlink.net. So, on behalf of Michael, Rob, and me, Rotten Rick, this is Michael's Saturday Surprise wrapping up for this week, and hoping to see you next time around for some more great radio.